The Comedy Store would like you to know that the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are strictly those of the speakers or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by the Comedy Store and its affiliates.
How were your Russian movers?
They were spectacular. When they showed up, and I'm like, whoa, I hired a professional movie crew. Why are there three white guys? And one of them was wearing very short Umbros.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other one looked like a pro wrestler, just hair covering the shoulders. He was the meat of the crew.
Like that old Nintendo game, Karnov.
Yeah. Very similar. Yeah.
I don't even know what that is, but I can picture this little muscular.
It was like, in 8-bits, he was quite muscular and bald, yes.
Yeah, I kind of
somehow
remember.
He looked like Mike Faverman if he were ripped, yes! Like a circus strongman.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, old school white guy strength.
Yeah,
turn of the century.
He's the least strongest man.
Faverman.
But he looks like the old school strongman.
Yeah. And the leader of the Russians looked like a Soviet Eric Carter, the guy from Mississippi hangs out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he just looked just like him. I'm like, holy fuck. And then I'm like, oh, no, this guy's straight Russian. And these guys were like straight off the container. They got out in Long Beach. They broke out of there.
The container,
and they came straight to work. And all they did the whole day was basically emasculate me for, like, holding the baby. Hey, look, you're holding the baby again? And then the other two would laugh. And
we were never held as babies. That explains our personality.
It's like, oh.
That's amazing.
You want me to, I grab something? Here, I'll take that up. No, you stay here with baby. I take upstairs. And then
I would have protected the baby as well.
God damn these
around
guys.
These idiots. Did they film you? Like, look at him.
You mind we take picture of you? Maybe breastfeed baby? Girl, man. God damn it.
How old is the baby?
10 months now.
Really? Is it sleeping
it,
yet?
David?
Oh, whatever. It's okay. An it for until like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. Is it sleep? It sleeps great.
Really?
Rick.
Yeah. That's lucky.
Goes to bed.
She sleeps great.
It goes to bed around 9 or 10, and then it sleeps till like 7 or 8 in the morning.
That's extremely fortunate.
Really
yeah. yeah, that's very lucky.
It was terrible for about 5 months, and then one day
she
starts
colic?
Sleeping. Yeah.
Okay.
New parents look like POWs. They have that. You even have, you still look tired, but not as tired as I guess you did
five months ago.
Yeah.
I honestly felt that you should be allowed to murder people. If you have a child.
I don't have a child, and I feel
you
that
you know what?
Regularly.
You should get one.
Yeah,
because,
at least
like,
one.
If you brought one in the world, you take one out.
Exactly.
Kind of that thing.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
Also, it's got to be in your family. I mean, to keep it coherent, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
Like a family member?
Yeah. Oh. Mom or great aunt or something.
See, my family's far away, so I want it to be someone I have to interact with daily.
Okay,
so that way I can make it simpler.
Who's watching the baby? So if you don't have family members there, it's tough. You guys have to watch the baby with no help.
We're going to have David babysit. Want to babysit?
Wait,
would you babysit?
I thought you said Dana.
No,
like,
David.
Whoa,
no.
It's a baby.
Why don't you go to sleep, right?
Like, I tried to feed it, but it turns out potato chips are really, really bad for the baby. Luckily, I ate all of them first.
David.
Secret.
How would you babysit?
What? Oh, distantly.
Remotely. Best babysitter
I do
ever.
It over, over Skype.
It's over there.
Puts it in the crib and then just leaves.
Yeah.
No, better. She seemed fine when I left. What do you mean when you left?
Yeah.
I left hours ago.
I had... We had Eleanor babysat her once.
Yes. Oh, how was that?
Oh my God, she's so cute. She's really a pleasant baby, honestly.
You're good, because Eleanor, you're good at babysitting babies because you raised your 50 brothers and sisters.
I did not. I was at the bottom of them.
Really?
I'm number 8. So
I still imagine
they had
you
to raise
still
me.
Raised them.
Yeah, me too. Parents left, Eleanor take care of the 9
but
kids.
But I always had babysitting jobs. I was very good with it. Like, my brother Jimmy, oddly, is one of the best with
is
babies.
Is he the one who puts a whole baby in his hand?
Yes. Like, I don't know. A baby just feels like, I'm safe in this giant's hand for
in
some
baseball
reason.
Glove. Yes. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one older brother and 3 younger sisters.
Okay. So, and how much younger?
I have one sister who's 2 years younger than me, one sister who's 5 years younger than me, and then there's the surprise baby.
Oh,
so you were around babies a lot of the time. How young is the surprise baby?
She is 19 right now.
Wow.
Whoa, that's a hell of a difference.
Yeah, I mean, it was classic 80s sitcom, like, hey, all the kids aren't cute anymore.
Were you surprised your parents are still fucking?
I had a feeling that they probably were.
That would be, like, alarming.
I'm very happy that they were.
My parents, they weren't... you know, conservative or whatever it was. It just
I'm not worried
like
about conservative or liberal. It's more like at some point, even the most liberal couple was like, I'm done with you.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I think they rekindled the fire
or
something.
Nice. And then, yeah, now.
It was surprise time.
So it wasn't until very recently that they were completely done with children in the house.
Yeah, my sister just finished her freshman year of college.
Yeah, so this is like, that was a long stretch of children.
Yeah, I mean, my brother was almost 18 when my baby sister was born.
So think about that. That's like a 35-year stretch of children in the house. The empty nest syndrome must be fierce.
They seem to really be enjoying it.
Lots of vacation.
Remember that Bernie Mac bit?
Oh, they're going on vacation a lot? Oh,
yeah,
good.
All the time.
Do you remember the Bernie Mac bit about how he got his sister's kids? But the beginning of the bit, he's like, children move out. He's like, we're fucking everywhere. Good living.
No, yeah, it's. I think they basically raised four kids and then had to have a
whole new
one child then.
That's so you're this girl, the 19-year-old, was raised as basically an only child.
As an only child, more or less, yeah.
Were you dragooned into doing babysitting duties and diapers and shit?
I did some when I was there. I mean, I basically moved out when I went to college and I never moved back in. I basically I would stay away for summers, do whatever
I
could.
It's weird to think,
I
moved out at like 17, and you're like, that's a long ass time.
You moved out at 17?
Went to college.
Oh, college. I forgot.
Yeah.
I forget people leave for college.
Oh, yeah, you went to Temple. Well, no, you left to drop out.
I moved to LA to drop out.
Exactly. Yeah. You were there for a good year, and then you're like, this college thing is.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. I'm not, this isn't really.
Yeah, I just realized that just now I've lived on my own away from my parents' house exactly as long as I lived with them growing up.
Really?
Same.
So
same.
It feels good.
I'm actually a year longer in LA.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I realized recently that I have been here longer than I was in, you know, everything from like kindergarten to into college. I'm like, I've spent more time in comedy than I have in school.
Right.
For the same amount of gain.
That's
benefiting in both ways.
Yes. When did you start doing comedy?
24. So that'd be 2000.
So you didn't do it in college, obviously.
No. Fuck no. I was busy, you know, studying. Anybody who does comedy in college didn't really go to college.
Wait a second.
Hold
I did comedy in college.
What did you major in?
I didn't really go to college.
You know, I was.
I majored in drug experimentation with
a
minor
in
film.
Chemistry and economics. And I get sick at the beginning of the semester, and I'd be sick all the way through to the end of the semester. I was so exhausted. I barely graduated. Even with that, it was still like hard to finish everything. And I think I didn't have enough. I barely had time to watch TV. The thought about having time to go out and do comedy, it's like.
Were you a perfectionist? Like, is that
no,
why? Studying was so
Carnegie
hard?
Carnegie Mellon was hell
Carnegie
on earth.
Carnegie Mellon is not
it
even
was like
real
no,
to people
we
like me.
We were known for computer science and suicides.
Yeah. I was a film student at the University of Kansas, one of the most prestigious film schools
out
there.
Yeah, well, you know, the nice thing about it
isn't it closed?
It doesn't exist anymore. That was the College of Santa Fe.
Oh,
that college is entirely closed.
That college is closed?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like it would be like the two, you got New York and Los Angeles, the two poles of entertainment, and let's walk and then meet in the middle and let's form a film program there.
And somehow that was the worst of the two film programs I went to. The one that's now no longer exists in Santa Fe.
So the whole college went out of business?
Whole college went out of business.
I've heard
it's
about that
Trump
college.
University, I
yeah,
think
well,
they
how
call
did it.
It
go out of business? They just
I guess, well, like a majority of the people I know dropped out because it just seemed like such a scam when you got there. I mean,
well, it was like crystals and pot? Like all of Santa Fe?
It was just like an art school and it was super expensive, but it just like you basically were like, this is ridiculous. The only person I know, like Merv went there and dropped out.
Mervis?
Ryan Mervis.
Wow.
What's her Annie
Letterman?
Letterman. I thought it was Letterer.
Letterman.
She actually graduated. She apparently went for 6 full years.
I love her. 6 full years.
She was like, "Yeah, I graduated," and then a semester later they closed it.
Here's the thing. It's like I think about how hard I worked in school, and it was kind of pointless, but it was still like if it was like if my son was like, "Hey, Dad, I want to go to the University of Santa Fe," I'd be like, no, just don't go.
Yeah, why are you doing that? That's
feel. A school you could lie about going to.
Yeah, especially.
At this point now, you could especially lie about it.
We all graduated in 2009 when the college closed forever.
If you don't have a college degree,
I'm going to put it on my resume.
Why wouldn't you tell people I went to that defunct school?
Absolutely. No way to check on it?
Yeah.
There is no way to check.
There's no way to check.
There's got
to
be a way.
Yeah, there's no way. They literally have no records left. There's no one in charge of anything. Yeah. And then they
that's some Don Draper shit.
Yeah. And then a new school bought the campus.
A new school or a new school?
A new college. Yeah. And then that college just went out of business. And then
it's like the restaurant that goes out of business because of the location. Every couple of years. Good. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And then mysteriously, about 2 months ago, about half the campus burned to the ground.
The old Jewish lightning.
Yeah. So
you know what? It's basically Annie. The strip club of colleges, also.
Yeah.
Because without the buffet,
the
Body Shop remember burned a while ago in an amazing
twist of events. Yeah, they were able to really remodel that thing.
Here's a question: is this one recording?
Well, I'll go check, but I think so.
Okay, because the last time we did this,
let's get back to. Yeah. That's right. Oh my God, that's right.
Oh yeah,
that's when I saw there was no Ari Manis. I'm like, we're gonna do it again. Yeah. I already can feel it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so when did you start? You started when you were 24.
24.
So after Carnegie Mellon,
I was at Carnegie Mellon, and then I was unemployed for a little while. Then I had a job, and I got fired from that. Then I backpacked around Europe, and I got another job that was mildly successful, but I was terrible at it. But I made some money, and then I got fired from that in San Francisco, and I came out here.
Was that in the tech world?
That was yes. Both of those jobs were in the tech world.
Oh my
it was
God.
Really. I was really incompetent. My friends were quite good.
Why do you say you're incompetent?
No, I was really awful. I mean. You know how I am on stage? I was worse in computer science.
You should read the Yelp reviews of his computer science.
Yeah, it was awful. And my friends were quite good.
Is that how you got in? Or
oh, yeah, yeah. What happened was...
You floated by with help of friends?
Are you like Big Head on Silicon Valley?
Yes, actually, no. There was actually a guy who was really like Big Head. In San Francisco, what happened was my friends had this company that had gone public, and it was making a lot of money hand over fist, and they were all like, wait, you know, these people we're bringing in to interview are idiots. And they're like, well, if we're going to have idiots interview, why don't we interview our friends? So I get pulled in for the interview. You had $4,000 if you find somebody. They managed to coach me through the interview and help me cheat to the point where I managed to get hired. I managed to bluff my way through every single person. And then I got hired, and then 6 months later I was fired. It's a great deal.
Yeah, that's not
Jesus.
Bad.
One of the people
great
I interviewed.
Great money, though, right?
Yeah, well, ridiculous. Yes, while it lasted. Although one of my friends who interviewed me, I mean, friends with him at the interview, he is now like a really successful guy in software. He's making a lot. He was, you know, he's done very, very well for himself. I just was terrible. I was really bad at it.
Did you not enjoy it? Or
well, it was a combination of things. It's like, you know, some people are great at something and they enjoy it.
Right.
I was the opposite of that.
Yeah.
In every possible way.
Bad and
I hated it. And then they
sounds
like
a winning combo
they
to
didn't
me.
Know what to
this
do with me.
This sitcom writes itself,
yeah,
though.
They didn't know what to do with me because I was just loud and I didn't care. And I remember I went to lunch with one of my friends and a couple of like shy developers, and I was telling about this prison rape website. They wanted to fire me. I talked loud on the phone. They were complaining up the chain and down the chain. Could you please talk? It was just a disaster. It was an absolute disaster, but the food was really good.
The benefits.
I love the upside.
I never had an alarm in all the time I was in software. Never once. You'd sleep in, come into work, stay there until dinner. You had to get there before lunch because that's when your friends ate. But that was the only reason. Stay until dinner. It was fucking tremendous. It was such an easy job. The only problem was I was terrible at it and hated it.
Right.
But if I had enjoyed it, it would have been I'd be very successful.
So, yeah, so cushy. And
yeah, but you
but I was
knew
also
what you
good.
Were doing. You just
no,
hated
no, no, no,
it.
No. I really didn't have any idea.
Oh, you didn't even know
my
what
job
you were doing.
In Silicon Valley was they said, you need to learn Java. And they gave me a book. And
I remember
never
that.
Opened the book. I mean, never once did I open the... It stayed on my desk with, I think, as I recall, there was like a cartoon of like a fucking camel on it. And I leave it because it was upside down. I turned it back over every once in a while, but I never opened it. I was there for 6 months. It was great.
That is sweet.
It was a really sweet deal. Yeah. It just wasn't for me. Now, my friends are quite good at it, but I just was terrible at it. Yeah.
That is amazing. I would never be able to pretend even to get into
You'd
that world.
You'd be surprised.
Really?
Although,
I mean, maybe
be,
just because I'm
be
a
honest
chick?
With you. Here's the thing that's galling is that, yeah, the reason I got it is I look like a developer. So they're like, but I've never gotten an audition for a show for being a software developer, even though I look like one so much that I
yeah, you would
was
play
able
one
to
audition in real life.
Real life, yeah. I remember lying and cheating on the fucking final question right before the end of the day and like pretending that I never heard it. And I turned and I'm like, what if you go backwards? And I remember thinking, is she going to buy this shit? And she goes, oh my God. I'm like, look at you. You're an actor. It's the most lucrative acting job I've ever had. Yeah. Yeah, but I think the problem is I look like a real developer, not like an actor playing developer.
Right.
So I'm not quite at the Chris Hardwick level of attractiveness.
You're really just like one pair of Weezer glasses away from Hollywood buying in on this, I think.
Yeah, you could really play that up.
I could play a director of somebody playing nerds.
Kind of the American Stephen Merchant, I think.
Oh, yeah, believe me,
I've
heard that. You know, the joke about that was Jackie Gold had a friend. And this friend, I saw
the comic.
Yeah, Jackie Gold. She had a friend. Friend was very pretty. And I looked at the picture, and I'm like, hey, she fucks ugly. I can tell. I can just tell from the picture. I know. I go,
she
fucks ugly. I know what that looks like. She goes, she went to Princeton. I'm like, trust me. She's a model. I go, she fucks ugly. She goes, I don't know, David. I go, just let me meet her. She fucks ugly. A couple weeks later, Jackie calls me. He goes, oh, my friend's here. You want to meet her? I'm like, I'm sick. Whatever. I'll meet her some other time. A couple weeks after that, I go, what's happened with your friend? She said, well, it's weird. She is dating a guy who's not like classically good looking. I said, well, who is it? She goes, Stephen Merchant. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Yeah. Snagged her right out front.
So then she broke up with Stephen Merchant. And I told Jackie, and she didn't do this. I said, what you need to do, Jackie, is say after she broke up, say, look, we need to get your mind off Stephen Merchant. I got a guy who's totally different.
Yeah.
Somebody who'll completely take you out of it.
And did she?
No, she never did.
Oh,
because
Jackie.
I mean, I can understand. If I'm that girl, the last thing you want is somebody who looks like your last boyfriend, only who is desperately poor.
Yeah.
Like, no, every possible
doesn't have
way
the millions.
Worse. Yeah.
He's a lot like the old guy, but he's American and has no money.
And he's broke. And he's really difficult to get along with.
So when you showed up at the Comedy Store, you were like, oh, this is perfect for me. I fit in with these people. Mm-hmm.
No, it's like anything at the store. It takes like, you don't fit in at the store until you make other people, you don't feel comfortable at the store until you make other people feel uncomfortable at the store.
Yeah, okay. You got to be the bully and not the bullied.
Exactly, it's prison. You figure out your fucking angle and you fucking rock that angle.
Get your gang.
So the first 6 months, it was really uncomfortable, but I almost quit, but Bobby Lee talked me out of it, which I will
Jesus.
Bobby Lee, done some stuff, but I always appreciate that because he talked me out of it. It's funny, Ari and I worked with a guy who did quit. And, you know, and then we went our separate ways. And then Ari and Steve and I sold that show to FXX. And we sold it to Comedy Central, so we knew it was sold. And we went to FXX. We're walking down the hallway. And we feel great. We feel really good about ourselves. Walking up the hallway towards me and Ari is that guy we worked with.
No.
What are you doing here? He goes, I work in graphic design. And I thought, you know what? I haven't made a lot of good decisions. But staying at the store, while it did throw away my entire life, was good in this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That feels better.
Yeah. But yeah, thanks, Bobby. Did Bobby get you a showcase as well? Because everybody we interview tells us Bobby got us.
You know, I can
not everybody, but
I'm saying 80% of the people at the Comedy Store are here because Bobby Lee brought them in. That's how it seems.
Really? Here's the thing about my showcase was it was just like everybody else. I was an employee. I didn't showcase for 2 years because somebody had done that and insisted on Mitzi seeing him and gotten fired. So I thought I'm not gonna ever
who
see
did
me.
That?
Ron Swallow. So. Yeah. There was a
I remember Moesha.
There was a
I
cartoon.
I used to tease him so much. Yeah.
Wait.
Ron.
Not Ron Lewis.
Oh, no, wait. Ron Swallow. Oh, shit. Yeah, I went Ron Lewis.
No, totally different Ron.
I forgot about Ron Swallow.
Exactly.
Okay, I forgot
you know why?
Worked here.
Because he got fired right away because he said, Mitzi, you got to see me. And she goes, fire him.
Yeah.
So for two years.
So he didn't even get on?
Oh, he got on. He got fired.
Oh, okay.
She didn't
I thought she he asked
so,
and she fired him.
No, he asked. She saw it. Then she said, you got to. It's kind of like.
He took me to McDonald's, my first open mic here, to give me the rundown on what to do at the Comedy Store. I was like, cool.
It reminds me of, did you guys ever watch
Never
the Death
again.
Row
Love
Records
him.
Behind the Music?
Yeah.
In the Death Row Records Behind the Music, somebody breaks into a boardroom meeting and says, you have to hear me rapping. You have to hear my rapping. And they go, okay, but if we don't like it, we're going to beat your ass.
Yes.
Okay. He starts, gets two words in, boom, boom, boom. They wail on him. That's Ron Swallow.
Oh, my God.
Poor dude.
So anyway, he got fired. So for 2 years, I refused to go up. Then I decided, you know, I want to host the open mic, maybe get non-paid. I'm going to go up. It's a bad night. And Judy Chinchado bumps me. And of course, she dies. Then Mitzi leaves. The next week, I go up. And for some, Mitzi was in a good mood. And also, if you remember, at the time, Mitzi used to come in once every few weeks.
Yeah.
And when she'd come in, since she never came in, people would interrupt her. They'd talk
to
her.
Oh, yeah, it was annoying.
Pauly Shore, who liked me for whatever, I think because I was mean to him. Said, Mom, you have to watch him, Mom. And he managed to bump everyone away. And that's why she. And then she was in a good mood and I got passed. And I shouldn't have been passed. And I was very incredibly lucky.
That is really impressive because usually when Pauly says, Mom, this, she goes, go away and goes the complete opposite.
Oh, don't worry. She never gave me any spots and then said to me,
don't worry. Like people are worried.
You're a writer. And I was like, you know, you've never. actually seen me do stand up enough to know what I write, but it was just for my looks. She's like, "You're a writer." I said, "Well, I'd like to be an actor." She said, "You're a character act." I said, "Well, you know, people have told me that." And then she snickered, and then that was that. And that was the extent of my interaction with Mitzi. With the all of it. Oh, no, there was one time she saw me on stage and said, "Get him off," so she could have Skippy perform. So
Skippy Simon?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen his act, but he does this thing about Chewbacca having diarrhea. Yes. Anyway.
I have seen that, yeah.
It's understandable. It. It's understandable why
I will
you got
say
booted.
This. In this case, she was right. You know, they say she can tell if somebody has what it takes, and she didn't think I did, and God bless her, she was 100% right
David,
about
that's
that.
Not true
at all.
But that
you
said,
have what it takes.
But then you see some of the people in Neons, you're like, I'm not sure that she was 100% right all the time, but you know what the hell.
That whenever someone tells me about how she had the eye, I just go, I just want you to go out and read 15 names in one section.
And you'll notice Adam Sandler is not one of them because she did not pass him.
Well, wait a minute. I agree with her on that. I love Adam Sandler. I love his movies. I think he's terrific. He definitely has a thing. But as far as a stand-up comic.
He's no spaghetti and meatballs.
He's no Georgia Jean.
He's no spaghetti and meatballs. He's certainly no Georgia Jean.
No Golden.
Yeah, Golden. These girls got laughs.
Anand Chalani
did not get laughs. She only passed him.
He got a million spots, too.
Only reason she passed him is because she wanted to start that Middle Eastern thing. She was like,
and the only reason she gave spots is his name began with A, and that's when she lost interest in doing the lineups.
Yeah. I just remember whenever he was on the lineup, I'd be like, oh, God, I wonder if he'll make the 5 minutes.
Barely
and he would
get
like,
to eight
the longest
minutes.
I ever saw him was 7.
Oh, he would tap out? He'd just quit?
Well, he'd just get off stage.
Who's next?
And he'd always film, which I thought was hilarious.
And he was the opener.
He ended up writing for television, too.
I'm sure. I'm surprised he's not a prince somewhere or something
he
crazy.
He might be a showrunner somewhere. I can think of people who I was like, I remember telling some
but
people.
But that was pure ethnicity.
You will never make it as a writer. And now they're very successful writers. I remember telling them, well, I was wrong. I thought you had no talent, but you've done very well for yourself.
Yeah, but it turns out no talent is hiring. Yeah.
By the way,
somehow
that apology was not received very well either.
Is that right?
Like, yeah.
Unacceptable.
I missed it.
I'm sorry. I thought you had no talent, but you made it anyway.
I see what you're saying. That apology is not acceptable.
They didn't like the underhandedness of that apology.
No. That's what my friend calls a forehand insult.
Yeah, that's nice.
Forehand insult.
Yeah. No sandwich method there. Just straight to the
no
fucking...
No backhander. I go other hand.
So did you stay working and not getting spots? Like, you stayed a door guy for a while after
you know, honestly,
passed?
I was there for 2 years, and then I got passed, and then I was working... I wasn't the door guy that much, but I was a phone guy in the morning.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
But the problem was, and it still is sort of, if you are an employee at the store, they lose leverage over you. I mean, now they can ban you, I guess. But
once you're paid regular.
Once you're paid regular, they're going to fire you? You're still paid regular.
Yeah.
So one morning, I remember, I handed Nick Youssef the morning phone shift because I used to work. And then one morning, he called me and goes, fuck, I completely overslept my shift. And I said,
oh, no.
Well, just hold on a second. And I called Duncan. I'm like, hey, Duncan, Nick made me the morning shift and I completely blew it off. I'm really sorry about that. And he goes, He gave that to you. I go, oh, yeah, he totally gave it to me. And I completely blew it off. It's my fault. You might have to fire me. And they go, okay. And then, yeah, because there was nothing to do with me. Nick was not an employee. It was not paid
not
at that
paid
point.
Yet.
I was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they had no leverage over you. So they were, in fact, I was, at that point, the cover booth guy was the person determining the order of the comics on Sunday. And I remember showing up with six people waiting. I said, well, I'm first because I know the cover booth guy and he's very dishonest. So I put myself above everyone else, and that's when I got fired.
That's beautiful.
Who was the cover booth guy that was very dishonest?
Me. I was the cover booth guy, yeah. I'm like, I know him. He's very, very dishonest. I feel that way,
that's
by the
amazing.
Way, about the bagger at Self Check at Ralph's. He really does cut a lot of corners.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I was at the Ralph's in Studio City one time, and it was like close to midnight, and I went to the Self Checkout line, and then Rob Schneider...
Okay.
Walked up
and
put his stuff down at the self-checkout next to me and then started yelling at an employee and then made the employee come over and bag his,
really?
Check his stuff and bag it for him.
That
and the guy was
so
like,
funny.
You can just go and get in line. He's like, I don't have time. And the guy was like, oh, okay, well, you just scan it. He's like, can't you just do it? I was like, this That's is amazing. Genius.
That I love that you said Republicans.
Yeah, Republicans are
That's
like that.
So right.
The, it reminds me of something. I remember somebody, Jim Painter was standing next to me one night at the store to show
Not
what a different
Republican.
Place it was. No, but it was somebody, I think it was Roseanne, was doing some show in the main room.
Right.
And her employee or somebody gave me attitude. And I looked at her, I said, fuck you, I work here. And I walked away.
God.
And Painter goes, whoa, nothing happened to me.
No. Of course not.
Fuck you. I work here. But that was the during kind of the dead years where
awesome.
We really Those truly ran.
I think what you mean is the glory years.
Glory yeah, it years. Was I think we should change
golden
it to
age
the
of
You know,
the
I will say
age.
This. I am really, really happy that I came up then. I wish I had done something with my career, but it was, if I could pick a time, that was a great, no, was there an audience there? Fuck no.
No.
Never. But it was fun.
Debauchery. And,
yeah,
good
there,
times.
There were no cameras. There were no locks.
They had cameras. They just didn't work. They
no,
didn't
this is before cameras.
No,
no,
we
cameras.
Had some.
Really?
We just didn't retain any of it.
It, was
yeah, it cost
oh, really?
Money
oh, yeah.
to
record. Actually record.
Yeah. It was really fun. I walked in on Eddie Griffin fucking. You know, it was like.
Yeah, on, Ari was just telling
purpose.
Us about that.
Yeah, no, so
it's
what
like, how are we going to do it?
No,
he
yeah.
was like, well, what if I just
I just go, I have an idea. Open the door. Because we walked to the back and we heard him fucking in the back. What do we do? We're kind of stymied by the door. I go, oh, I got this. I open the door. I walk in, see a girl bent over. I go, oh, my God. And I turned. I ran, walked away. I'm like, okay. And then I went back to the booth. 15 minutes later, Eddie comes up, giggles, hey, and fist bumps me.
That's it. Yes!
He was so happy.
Was it one of my waitresses?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
He was so happy.
You saw what you wanted
to have
see.
To, yeah. Well, he, well, also, he was so happy to be seen. No, one of the waitresses said he used to come up and press his erection on her. But,
oh, constantly.
Yeah, but I don't
to
think she
everyone.
Was. She wasn't
was
super
a few
depressed
he
by
slept
it.
With. No, there was, yeah. a, and I had to fire some because.
Really?
Yeah, because he would be like.
There's one girl I kind of thought she would have because she had slept with Pacey from Dawson's Creek. So
okay.
Like, you know.
I don't know who
is
that, that is.
Josh Jackson?
Okay.
No, I mean I don't know who Pacey from
oh,
Dawson
yeah.
Creek
and,
is.
It was,
I don't
but you know the waitress. The waitress.
He was also the star of The Mighty Ducks.
Well, the waitress was quite pretty, and in fact had confessed to Eleanor that she was sexually attracted to me, and I managed to drive her away.
Oh, I remember exactly who she
yes.
was.
I
yes,
I don't know.
That's
yeah.
beautiful.
She was like, I remember being like, you don't really fit in here. But
well, that's the thing. That's why
I
loved
that she was attracted
she
to
was
you.
She was very pretty. Okay, here's the thing.
Very
she was,
smart.
She's very pretty. No, she was very pretty. And so she, the thing no. about her was
shut down on
every
very
time,
smart.
Every time I say it, he goes no. no. Like,
she was fine, but she worked the. I worked the cover booth. Rick Ramos worked the door, and she was the waitress. And yeah, so Ramos would flirt. With, Ramos would flirt with her really hard, and I would be utterly dismissive. So she would be like, he'd be like, "How's it going, Lindsay?" I go, "Just get away." And then so the but here's the thing. Here's the thing that really won her over. She was talking about some guy. She goes. I mean, I think he's gay because he's not attracted to me. I said, I'm straight and I'm not attracted to you. And she said, why not? I said, you're not that smart. She goes, what? Oh. I mean, I go, no, you're not that smart. She complained to the manager who I found out she was fucking. And she goes, do you think I'm smart? He goes, yeah, I think you're smart. So, but her dad turns out to have been a surgeon at some Massachusetts hospital. So, of course, after a while, she decided that was what she was sexually attracted to, the fact that I was so dismissive. So Ron was like, I don't get it. You're mean to her, and she likes it. I said, well, did we learn a lesson here? And he goes, good point.
I want
to
fuck her.
That's a good point.
Are you barking, Rick?
No, that's just Rick Ramos no. trying to laugh
I forgot
for
you. He had the same name for a second.
So, yeah. He,
I should have said Ramos.
He, so, yeah, that was she was quite pretty. And then I was in the middle of an 8-year sex drought. So even when she called me.
8 years?
8 years. She called me to say she
the
was
tech
horny.
World.
She called me to say she was horny, and somehow I didn't close on the deal.
David.
That's unacceptable.
I know. It's unacceptable.
She was like married like 3 times or something.
She was married
wasn't
once
she?
Before to some dyslexic British actor,
okay.
and then she ended
We've
up dating.
We've all been there.
Yeah, she, well, I mean, he basically is illiterate. So then she was dating some actor who was successful. And it's funny, I ran into her like at Starbucks, and I'm like, how's it going? Call me. And she goes, fuck you. And then later the guy said to her, goes, seems like you guys are friends. She goes, no, fuck him.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah, and then somebody said she showed up at the store and complained about me. They're like, I think she likes you. I'm like, yeah, I think
she does.
I saw
her here a couple months ago.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She was at Roast Battle.
I don't even know who we're talking about.
Yeah, but it's okay. She's cute. She was really
cute. She's
pretty.
She's real. I'll show a picture.
I'll show a picture?
Yeah.
Anyway, did you ever have a relationship with any other waitresses? No,
I'm trying
right?
to think here.
Not
no,
a real relationship.
I don't think I've
don't
ever had.
Just
I've honestly never had sex.
Did you
with
ever
a wait-
date a waitress, Rick?
I've never. Dated
I've never had sex
a
with a comedy store waitress.
Oh, I like the way he said that.
What?
Rick said I never dated.
Yeah, good for you. I know none of them would sleep with me. They were like gross. They thought I was disgusting. Did you ever date that bartender who dated Favorman?
No, but in one of the strangest events of all time.
Oh, I remember her. Yeah.
Faverman came up to me. I think it was at Ren Azizi's. It was at Ren Azizi's 4th of July party or something.
Yeah.
And so Faverman and her showed up, and Faverman's like, "Hey, I need to talk to you." I'm like, "All right." And he's like, "Yeah, so I'm seeing her, and I wanted to let you know." I'm like, "Okay, cool." And he's like, "Cause you know, she told me you guys hooked up," and I was like, I don't think I did. I never
drink a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that was it. I was like, I'm trying to like, I get really fucked up, but I'm like, I know for a fact I never did anything with her. And he's like, "Well, she said you did," and I'm like, now that's just weird.
There was one girl like a while ago, not a story, just a random, but this reminds me because we hooked up and I couldn't get an erection because I was drunk. And then I was like, fuck, that's embarrassing. But it happened enough. I'm like, do I really care? So we go out again and she says,
I love it.
So, you know, we go out again. And she goes, "Well, we've had sex." And I'm like, "Yes, we have. We sure have. So this does not count as incrementing your number at all."
That's right.
And then we actually did it that time. It was pretty great.
Oh, thank God.
I ran into that bartender girl like a year after she and Faverman broke up or whatever.
Right, after she pressed charges. Whatever,
yeah.
I love Faverman. Should have
pressed charges. Although she was very aggressive, so maybe
No. You don't understand. The thing about Faverman is he's secretly very sensitive.
Totally.
What always ends up happening is you're like, "Well, look, that caveman is grabbing that girl." And later he's like, "Bro, she hurt me.
Destroyed my heart."
Yeah. Bro,
he really is the sweetest.
I shattered her pussy, but she shattered my soul.
Well, I see her and she's walking down the street with her girlfriend, who she's at that point a lesbian, and her girlfriend looked exactly like Faverman.
No.
I look more like the girlfriend would look like you.
Nope. The girlfriend looked just like Faverman, only a little thicker.
The same mustache?
A little thicker. It was so scary.
A little thicker. Oh, damn.
You know your dad issues are bad when you're dating girls to look like that.
Oh, yeah. Happy Father's Day, guys.
Yeah, she was cute, but she was...
she was a little loony.
A little off.
And she thought she was a rapper.
Oh, yeah, by the way,
that is such a tell. If you have a white girl who raps, you're like, "Oh, you are probably have a problem." Something's
and she
off.
Was yeah, and she was from Michigan, so she obviously thought she was Eminem, is weird.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Did she play the music for you in her car? Remember that? She had her rap music.
Yeah. I do remember listening to the rap music.
I
want you to imagine how much Faverman had to pretend to enjoy her rapping.
Yeah, to get into a relationship.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, think about that. It's not just like, I mean, he full on dated her, which meant that was sustained pretending to believe in her ability to rhyme.
Yeah, she was kind of, I mean, she was definitely crazy, but I remember she told me one time, and she would get me, I would drink like 8 beers and 5 shots, and she'd charge me like $5. Yes. It was great.
By the way, this is why Mitzi used to hire Thai bartenders.
Yeah.
Oh,
with
yeah,
her belief that they couldn't make friends enough.
Right.
Well, which there was a language barrier, and all they knew were the rules, and they followed them.
Which is also why they used to have these narrow columns. Really? They had these narrow columns for the names, and then these 15-letter Thai names that would run over, and then there'd be a short, like, Huck, Bill,
Pete. Every continent in the world, and then Bill.
It was like customer service. So, 15 shots.
And she's like, "My boyfriend hates you." And I'm like, "Have I ever met your boyfriend?" And she's like, "No." And I'm like, why does he hate me? And she's like, "Well, I can't remember, they were in the Caribbean or Hawaii. They're at some island vacation. And I kept telling him how much more fun it would be if you were there." And I'm like, "Yeah, gee, I wonder why he doesn't like me."
This is, by the way, she was the worst of all worlds, and here's why. Some girls, and I've run into a lot of them at the comedy store, and they've been a few at the store, there's a certain type of woman who, if you treat her like a human being, you are guaranteed to never fuck her.
Yeah.
You know, you by treating her like a human, by having her feel these human emotions, you absolutely walled yourself off. Whereas, as I recall, Faverman's move with her was just like, grab for her. And she's like, "Wait a second."
Yeah.
I don't know why you would tell my deep, darkest secrets. Is this impersonal?
Yeah.
And he also hooked up with the other blonde.
Yes, he got the second one, the one whose complexion was so bad that I was talking to Dan Mintz in the hallway, and somebody was lighting a lighter in front of her. I go, "Don't set her on fire. It might improve her complexion." And Dan Mintz goes, "Oh my God." He was blown away. Like, whoa.
Shit, that was a funny relationship that they have because Faverman had a girlfriend. So he told her, "I can only do it."
No, you're thinking of a different girl.
Oh, is it?
No, not the
girl?
Bartender. You're thinking of the waitress.
Yeah, the waitress. That's what I was
we're talking about.
The
bartender.
Skin.
The bartender.
Oh, she
was
had
the one
bad,
with
the bad skin,
skin
too.
He's got a type. The waitress. The waitress was
you're
the one.
You're absolutely
that,
right.
Yeah, the waitress was the one who I was thinking of when I was saying how you can't treat a woman
right.
like humans.
That's why maybe I.
So anyway,
on that.
So she.
Yeah.
What was the thing he said to her?
He told her that like because he had a girlfriend that they can only do it doggy style because that wasn't
sense.
Cheating.
Yeah, yeah.
And she believed it.
Because if it's not eye to eye, then
oh yeah,
it never happened.
It was so bad, and she kept going there. She's like, I don't know why I keep going there, and I'm like, I don't even know why I'm talking.
That is
to
a
you.
Girl who I once talked to, and she goes, talking about some like guy at the store. She goes, he's not good looking. I'm like, okay. So and I was even asking. I'm like, okay. So we're all walking out of the back, you know, be open until 2 a.m. You'd walk out, and you'd be in the parking lot. So me and Ari and that guy and the waitress and a bunch of people, we're walking out. We're all standing in the parking lot, and Ari goes, what happened to that waitress and that guy? And I'm like, huh, it's been like 15 minutes.
Weird.
They were just fucking in the alleyway.
We didn't have the alarm working either back then.
Yeah, no, it's
sometimes.
There used to be, I remember people used to say there was a motion censored alarm, and that's why you couldn't stay over for Halloween. It was like a thing. Well, so anyway, yeah. It was like, they said, you can't stay in the store. It's a motion sensor alarm. Anyway, one night, everybody's drinking. I come to work the next morning because I'm working the morning phone shift. I'm there for like an hour. Ari stumbles into the phone room. He goes, I guess there's no motion sensor.
Somebody was going to test it and he tested
it. Yeah, it wasn't on
but
on
we didn't
purpose,
have motion yeah. And we also didn't have the belly room door wasn't jigged up. So we knew that. Like we would come.
Really?
We would stay late.
Yeah.
And then just walk out at 4 or 5 a.m. through that door. Unless some asshole, we had one girl, she was so high, she went out the wrong door and set it off at 5 a.m.
Yeah,
so we all had
to
disperse and they had to call the fucking cops.
I remember one night Brody's playing the drums on a bucket in the middle of the night, like 2 a.m. And then the cops come for some other reason and he's like looking and there's a bucket with drums and he's like looking around. But he did not get in trouble. It was just an alarm situation. God, you feel bad for anybody who lived above the store when it was really loud.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was here at like 3 like, in the morning. Yeah. Like we were all just getting high.
It's a pot scene now.
Yeah.
But before it was an alcohol scene. And that's when it was loud. You know, in a way.
Louder. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you can see why they almost encourage marijuana use. Because it's the same reason that the British encouraged people in Hong Kong to smoke opium.
Okay.
It keeps people
calm.
Sedate.
Yeah.
It calms them down.
Yeah, because we would drink all night. And then we'd play wiffle ball at like
reference.
3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then it was like just out of control.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was great.
I'd be like, I have to go to work in 4 hours, so I better just not sleep.
It was a really good place. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about that when I was working there. Like, I had that job where I was worth $1 million. Like, I had other jobs. But that was the one I enjoyed the most, was working at the store, because it was just fun.
Well, because the inmates ran the asylum.
Yeah, inmates
so
ran the asylum. Yeah, and it was just, I learned a lot about life. It was really good.
Yeah. I mean, and it was, everybody had their own little group. I can remember. Uh-huh. I remember we all thought we were going to be stars from Dice's whatever he was filming.
Yeah, the daily specials of Andrew Dice Clay.
None of us knew exactly what was happening.
Time. You know, it's crazy.
We're
going to
throw Mike Black down some stairs.
Have you seen the one he did with Martin Scorsese? And you're like, holy fucking
shit,
man.
Oh, that one was brilliant. That was later, though. Yeah,
that's way later. But you're like, this guy has not changed.
Yeah.
He's just
still making those videos.
He just got A-listers.
Yeah.
But no, I can remember telling him, because he would get jealous of our relationship because obsessed with David. So I was like, that's my pseudo husband. And then he didn't say anything. And then like,
what
we
does
go
that
home.
Mean?
That's what he did. We go
Don't
home.
Be a whore.
It's hours later. And he literally goes, what does pseudo mean? And it was dead serious. It was like, I just died. I was like, yes, perfect. This is exactly.
Yeah. Does that mean you just fuck? What is pseudo?
I've had a pseudo before.
I once did a pseudo with an 85-year-old chick.
Yeah.
What? What's that? What does that mean
to
you?
Is that a position? I don't know what you're saying.
Reverse pseudo.
The really sad thing about the Dice Show is that they never had the my favorite scene ever with you and Dice.
Which, oh.
The one that you told me about. You told me the story.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Is, and I've told it
and
to no
tried.
Fewer.
And we've tried. I've pitched it to them.
I've, like 100 people.
Lesbians at the airport.
Yeah, it's fuck. I mean, I've told it to, because it sums up Dice.
Yeah.
Have you told the story in the podcast? The idea is that Dice is getting bags at the airport. You're with him. You guys are both with him.
Yeah,
and
we were doing our fake
Dice,
fighting.
Yeah, Dice spies two hardcore bull-like lesbians behind.
Favorite-looking
you know?
Ladies.
Yes, family. So, of course, this is what I'm about.
They
he
were
goes,
dating that
he
bar.
He sees it, and he goes, dummy, get the bag, dummy, right. to you, and you play, oh, there's, okay,
it's our public theater.
Yeah, so you run, he goes, dummy, dummy, and that's, you know, most people would have stopped there.
Yeah.
But here's the genius of Dice. Dice, after letting this go for a while, as I recall,
does it long enough to that they're getting
angry,
they're physically angry. Like, you can tell.
It justifies everything they've always thought about this man, and then he turns to them and says, chicks, you dudes know what I'm talking about. It's like, that is the...
You're disgusting, is what the one lady said. You're disgusting. That was her, one of their responses.
And I would have to, like, shamefully walk out of there, like, yeah!
I got the bags!
Yeah.
It's...
Holding every bag, too. Because you got to finish the bit.
Yeah.
You can't fucking let the bit go.
I tell you about Ashley and me. She used to... So I was dating this girl on and off for 10 years, and the one thing she, one of the many things she really hated about me was, I can't help myself. It's funny, I'm more of a performer off stage than on stage, deadpan. So what I would do is I do this thing where whenever we'd be in a public place, I would humiliate her. It's what I love to do. So, so anyway, her niece has a birthday
party. True love.
Yeah. She's like, her 18-year-old niece has a birthday party. We're at Soho House. All the kids packing the elevator.
Wow.
We're in the elevator. And the door closes, and she looks at me, and she goes, don't. Because she could see it. And I go, she goes, just don't. I go, I can't believe it. It's half mine, and you want to get rid of it. And she's like, don't do this, because she's getting annoyed. But the great part is, it plays as really real.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about this abortion she wants to have, but I want to have the baby because I love her. But I never use the word baby or abortion. I just talk about it. And she goes, just stop this. Just please stop. It's really embarrassing her. And after they die laughing, and she's like, what the fuck? I go, those kids thought that was real. She goes, no, they didn't. I go, those kids thought it was real. A week later, her niece has some, like, you know, Instagram video of Ashley holding her dog up, you know, and one of the kids comments on the picture is, should she be holding a dog like that when she's pregnant?
It's the best.
And then the best part was having, she called me and she did laugh about it. We laughed. Having the niece have to explain, first of all, what I was like. And then also,
what this, you are.
Yeah, the way she put it was, that's my aunt's boyfriend. He's a quote comedian, quote. And then also trying to explain to millennials why that was funny. About the,
it's just offensive, David.
About the abortion.
David, you don't understand how
I'm sure they all tweeted about it. It just was, how terrible you are.
I'm sure they went to therapy over it.
The niece knew because the niece is used to it. But yeah, Ashley was so upset. She was like, don't do this.
She was like, hashtag the monster of safe spaces.
But that's the thing.
Soho
what
House.
Dice does is like, yeah, it's like you're out in public and you're like, she's just thinking, she goes, you need to get back on stage. Because I'd be doing stuff. She'd go,
oh, and he was on stage every night and still doing it. I mean, we would leave here and go to Ralph's and he'd pull these antics.
I tell you what I did last night?
We got booted from Toys R Us once.
Are you serious?
Me and Dice.
In Ralph's, he put the camera in the bread, between the bread, right? And he's yelling at me, pick it up, right? And nobody can see the camera and he's just yelling at me and I'm nervously like this weak woman picking up fucking whatever he's throwing. He threw bananas at me. It was right before Thanksgiving too. So it just seemed like this horrendous domestic violence. And two aisles over, I'm walking by myself, like, because he was setting up a shot.
Yeah,
technically.
Absolutely.
Nobody knows this. Yeah. And this lady walks up, really nervous, you know, and she looks right at me because she don't see him around. She goes, no one has to live like this.
By the way, was that on the show?
And I'm like,
why is that not on the show?
I don't, because I told them and they didn't get it.
You
and Andrew,
the secret of
they
Dice,
wouldn't watch the videos. I'm telling you, I pitched all
the secret of him
these.
Is that he is a brilliant prankster. Last night,
the only thing they put in were the garbage runs this year.
Last night, I was standing next to Molly and John Little, and some really pretty blonde girl walks up, and I go, "How good to see you!" Because every time you meet a girl, you always treat her like you've always known her.
Yeah,
because why not? You know, sometimes you'll
make
say
her feel dumb.
Well, no, because I like to say like, "It's been a while," because either it has been a while and then they feel special, or it hasn't and then they realize it's a joke. And if they don't, then what difference does it make?
Yeah, who cares?
So this girl's very pretty. But here's the thing about talking to a really pretty girl is a lot of times she sees a guy like me and she's like, obviously this guy's treating me like an home and he's ugly. I must have met him and forgotten him because he is not comely enough for me to remember.
Right.
So I go, how's it going? She goes, oh, hey. And I go, how are you? She goes, good. She goes, how are you? I said, not good. I said, my father died. And, my mom is sick, and I'm worried I'm going to have to put her in a home. And how do you do that? What, you know? So I'm going on and on about my poor sick, which, by the way, not true at all. So I'm telling about how I don't know how to put my mother in a home. And meanwhile, she's trying to go up the OR stairs. She desperately wants to get away, but she also desperately doesn't want to be the type of
person. She
won't
be a bad person.
Walks away. Yeah. So she's trapped halfway through as I'm explaining how my mother has strokes. And she's just like
multiple strokes. Yeah,
and she just eventually, she just
different
bolts.
Strokes.
And then Little goes, "You know that girl?" I go, "I've never met her before in my life." he goes, I think you could be insane. I go, "It's possible. I loved it though." And Molly just laughed. She was like, "But it's a great thing to do."
Yeah.
Is basically
fuck with people.
Yeah. Punish someone for them not being sexually attracted to you.
Yeah.
David, that's a terrible way.
It's called judo.
It's a fantastic way to look at things, I think.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah.
I don't think that's good. That's not nice.
I knew,
you don't need to do that. You're a good guy and people.
When I first met Dave, he was one of the first people to pull me aside and be like, "Don't ever do that stupid shit you're doing on stage." And
okay.
I was like, "Oh, okay." He was very honest with me about it.
A real gift.
And then I'm like, "All right." And I watched him basically just destroy a couple people in an audience. I'm like, "That's funny," because that's my sense of humor, is like just watching some uppity bitch get fucking destroyed.
Okay.
And then I was standing on the front with Sheezer on the patio, and this car pulls up, and this girl's like, "John." And John's like, "Is that girl talking to me?" And at that point, John didn't work here. He wasn't doing comedy. He was just the dude who slept on my couch. Right. He'd sleep in my
pretty
van.
Pretty much.
And,
basically, yeah. 100%.
He'd sleep in my car in the back of the lot while I worked the parking lot.
I love him.
And then he was hanging out. We were probably drinking at that point. And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's talking to you." We walk over, and it's some girl that he went to college with, or someone he knew from college anyway. And we're talking to her, and she's like, "You want to come in?" She's like, "I'll never go to that place again." We're like, "Really? Why?" And she's like, "There's this guy, he's bald, and his name is Dave, and he made me cry." It was like,
I wonder who that was.
Yeah, I might be able to figure out who that is exactly.
Do you give a lot of comics advice like that?
Like,
don't ever do that again.
I try not
to
give it. I mean, I guess if I did
so
that.
So you obviously liked Rick. You were like.
Yeah. No, it's like another thing, too, is you know who the only person who ever gave me good advice as a stand-up was? Dice. He's the only one. And the way he gave good advice was not by not giving advice. He would like sort of say stuff and it made sense, but it was never like pointed.
At
I'm sure
you,
I violate that all the time. I'll offer tags to people or whatever. But usually my rule is this. If they're on stage at the store, their career is already ahead of mine. So what the fuck? I've watched too many people show up and then go right past me. And you're like, well, I guess that's how it's going to be.
Yeah,
you helped me with
been
tags.
There.
Yeah, but I like to, I'll give tags to people because...
He basically just told me, like, you need to quit doing that Will Ferrell shit and come up with your own shit. Because I was doing impressions that were basically
oh,
all just
right.
straight.
I forgot. Yeah.
You do some great fucking characters, though. Have you been doing the characters at all?
I mean, not really.
Those characters are A++++.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Which characters? Like Argus?
Drunk Argus.
Argus is the best.
Let's see. I can't remember. Drunk Argus is good. I used to have something called the David Taylor Catastrophe.
Oh, that was glorious.
My live talk show, which was sort of in reverse order of success because Ari was my sidekick and my warm-up guy was Steve Renazzisi. and my hecklers were O'Neill and Danish, and he would always do a character. And then I would have people on. The best guest I ever had was my friend who did topless pictures of homeless women.
Okay.
And we showed the pictures.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And then it was like, here's some laughter and then a bit of a moral sense. And then by the end, when they had the topless woman who was in the wheelchair, that was when we really cracked the audience's neck. It was the UCB back when they'd give me a show. And they did it for four shows. Then the last one I ever did, it ended with Ari wrestling, a naked Ari wrestling Ryan O'Neill. And O'Neill's finishing move was slapping Ari's ass, his naked ass, repeatedly. And they're like, "Yeah, I think that might be the end of your show at the UCB." It was a great show.
I'm surprised O'Neill did that. He's so OCD. I'm surprised he touched him.
Oh, no. When he fights, he's not. Remember, O'Neill wanted to fight Ari.
Yeah, I do remember. That was
everybody wants to fight Ari.
They were like training.
They were training
fight.
For it. But the thing is, Ari, I think Ari realized, oh, this is going to be bad. So we always had this.
Yeah, because O'Neill's like a real fighter.
Yeah, he had weird legal rules, like insurance or something ridiculous. Just like he did with Nick Youssef. Ari played Nick Youssef at basketball, which is a game I set up, by the way, because I'm like, "Oh, Nick would kill you at basketball." "Oh, it's not true." I'm like, "Yes, I've seen both of you." "Yeah, oh, it's not true." Anyway, they play one-on-one, the worst game you've ever seen in the history of basketball.
Was Nick wearing jeans?
No, but there's a picture of Ari prostrate on the ground, leaned over, his head's on the ground. He's exhausted beyond measure. The score was 2-1.
Oh my God. So,
anyway, by the end, Nick was clearly going to win. So Ari started doing stuff like, I gotta use the bathroom. I gotta use the bathroom. The whole end of the game, he's like, I use the bathroom to try to gain breath. Now, the joke is, once the game was over, it's amazing. He didn't have to use the bathroom anymore.
That's so strange.
Nick's like, no, fuck you, no bathroom. Then he did this new thing where he'd be like, and then he'd throw up a shot quickly. Like, he was trying every fucking move.
It got
close. And I'm like, oh, you can't lose this.
What did they play to 10?
They played to 11, and it was an hour and 15 minutes.
No.
The worst game I've ever seen, ever.
I wish there was, like, 7 cameras on that.
It was
ridiculous.
But the best picture was the one of Ari just exhausted. You would have thought this guy, as I recall, it was like black airwalks. He showed up not having eaten, but he did smoke pot. It was like,
naturally, yeah.
It was like a morning, it was like noon or something. It was a great game. It was at the West Hollywood Park.
I've forgotten about that UCB show you did, but yeah, that shit was so fun.
It was super fun. The characters were good.
I did Traveling Travis one time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
And then I remember doing Darnell.
Yes, Darnell.
Darnell's a great character.
Ari's wife or something talked about being pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
And
that
like,
was
and it might
really
be your
disturbing.
Baby. I was like, well, we'll know if that baby got AIDS.
That was
mine.
The best line. Yeah, the baby got AIDS. That was really fun. Yeah.
The other thing I remember is...
Is there footage of that or recordings of it?
Yes and no. There sort of is, but here's the problem. It wasn't well shot.
It wasn't, good quality.
So it's just one of those things that just goes into the memory hole.
Fuck.
I remember...
Should bring it back.
There was a bunch of those, the sketch guys.
There was one. This is the one that happened. What happened was this. Michael Bush and Jonah Ray decided they were going to do a sketch. I go, great. I go, just tell me when. You can do whenever. And it doesn't matter. Just tell me when. I'll let you go any time to show. They go, we're just going to do it whenever. I'm like, just tell me when. So the problem was they decided to hijack the show because they were taking over the show. But what they didn't realize was just how fast didn't realize the fastball.
Right.
You know, they thought, oh, I could step to the plate. So Bush steps to the plate. He interrupts the show. It's Bush and Jonah. And then what happens is I walk off. Ari walks off. And then the crowd turns on them with such a fury that O'Neill and Dana... Ingram was making fun of him.
Yeah.
O'Neill and Dana start chanting, pumpkin, pumpkin, pumpkin. Because Bush looks just like a pumpkin.
And I kept saying he looked like a pumpkin.
Yeah.
Hey, with your shirt off, looking like a pumpkin.
Pumpkin. And then you could see the fear in his eyes. And the best part is Jonah Ray turned on him.
He just took my side. Yeah.
And
Bilak just came up to me backstage. Yeah. He was like, hey, these guys are hijacking the show. And just go out there and ruin their shit. And
I was
like, what do you want me to do? He's like, don't give a shit. Just get out there and ruin their shit.
It was
like, okay. Brutal.
And you could see in his eyes, too. It was like, and we've seen this. There's a Mike Tyson quote.
Are they huge now?
No. Jonah's doing very well. He's got like a couple shows. He did. Remember The Meltdown? That was Jonah. That was
the Meltdown, the comedy show?
Yeah.
Like this? Okay.
So there's a Mike Tyson quote. Everybody has a plan until they're punched in the mouth.
Right.
You know, it really defines stand-up when you think about it. How many times remember when you're starting out, you're like, these jokes are going to be great. And you go up and you're like, this is not how it sounded in front of my dresser.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I even practiced the breaths. Why is this? Yeah.
You can always watch a Bringer show. You can see people talking in their mirror on stage.
Absolutely.
So, but the best was the look in Bush's eye where he was like, this is not what I expected.
I just kept calling him fat. And then it got to the point that he took his shirt off. And then we all just, oh man, look at you taking your shirt off looking like a big old pumpkin.
And it was like, it got worse and worse and worse. And he was just crumbling. It was
awesome. Rick, O'Neill, and Danish in the audience heckling.
I remember Danish and O'Neill.
Shot my head off.
Danish and
I just walked out and I was just sat in Dave's chair on the stage. And then Jonah Ray came over and sat in the other chair. It was just like, well, if this guy's winning, I'm going to be on this side.
He went off. It was
the other
like France. The best was Dan Mintz was a guest once. And O'Neill and Danish, one of them yelled, hey, Egon, show us your cock. And I'm like, this is really, I don't even know why.
I think we lost Rick because he has to go.
Okay, cool. Well, I guess we're done with
maybe,
the.
Maybe not. I don't know.
We're done with the show.
Rick, are you got to go on? I'm gonna go tell Rick to get ready. Oh, he's telling him to get ready.
Okay, cool. Well, okay.
Ari
cool.
Shaffir. Okay. Boo. I don't want to quit.
Are we closing up or what?
I don't want to quit. I like
it's
it.
Great.
We could wrap it up.
This is perfect.
Yeah, this
let's
is
wrap
good.
It up. Okay, wonderful.
What
this
is your
was
social
fun.
Media? No, but I love those Jonah Ray.
Miss David Taylor.
I love those stories about the UCB because I forgot you guys did it there.
Yeah.
I remember the show, but I didn't know.
It was new when they needed people. Jonah got me the show. Without him, I would not have gotten it. It was Saturday's midnight.
Did he get mad at you?
No. He was like, he knew what I was doing. Look, everybody, that's why I don't get spots. People know what I do. It's either you buy in or don't.
You're in or you're out.
The last
buffers.
Time I did the death ray, I ended with going, that's all you fucking get. That's all you fucking deserve. And they're like, no more of those sets. And that was the end of that.
Guys, we never even really introduced you, but this is Dave Taylor. Yeah. So where do they find you on social media?
Nah, whatever.
Are you still doing your podcast? You had
no,
a great
I haven't
podcast.
Done it in a year.
Why?
So I'm lazy.
David, and, yeah. I was on your podcast.
I was a great guest. You were a great guest. Great episode.
Damn it.
Okay. It's called Until They Lose Interest. So if you haven't heard it, feel free to listen to it now.
Yes, it's
They're
very
just
good.
As timely now as they were
yeah,
then.
Yeah, because you asked great questions. And we probing talked questions, about a lot of
yes.
good things. Rick and I, as you noticed, don't ask any goddamn questions.
Well, it's
sometimes.
A different sort of experience.
Well, yeah. It's called, we just like talking about the Comedy
Until
Store
Until I
bullshit.
Lose interest. Okay, cool. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Dave Taylor at what?
At this David Taylor on Twitter.
At this David Taylor. Okay. Thank you guys so much. I'm Eleanor Kerrigan. Rick Ingram had to go do a spot in the main room because Shafir is late. All right. Thank you for listening. Bye.